The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Friends, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love to pick up the Flagpole weekly paper. Usually when I go to the grocery store each week, I pick up a copy of it and I peruse the events and live music calendar. Even if I can't make it, and let's be honest, I'm pretty busy, so most weeks I can't make it to a show on a weeknight. Even if I can't make it to a particular show, a lot of them pique my interest just based on the descriptive paragraph that goes along with each act playing. Listen to this. Of the band Post Moves, Flagpole notes, "The composer behind this Philadelphia ensemble utilizes guitar, pedal steel, vibraphone, electronics, field recordings, and found objects into his work." How do they do that? That sounds pretty fascinating. Or consider the editor's notes for the Athens band Sacred Bull, a post-metal group known for its heavy and dark combination of meditative melodies and deliberate cacophony. Doesn't sound like my kind of thing, but it sure sounds fascinating, doesn't it? Y'all know, of course, that on any given night here in Athens, Georgia, there are several great musical acts worth seeing. But I'm very unlikely to show up and pay the cover charge at any of those shows whose groups I haven't read anything about at all, whose content I know nothing of. And you probably wouldn't go to see any of those acts either if you didn't know anything about them. It's striking, isn't it, that in Jesus' inaugural act of ministry in the Gospel of Mark, we have no description attached to it. Jesus, the crowds in Capernaum say with excitement, teaches as one with authority. But what's fascinating here is that we never seem to learn the content of Jesus' preaching. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus' first sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, is recorded in great detail in what we've come to know as the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke's gospel, Jesus' sermon is brief and to the point. He quotes Isaiah saying, "I have come to bound up the brokenhearted and to set the captives free." But here in Mark's gospel, we seem to get no sage reflections from Jesus, no pithy insights, no clarion call to action. We only hear that Jesus teaches as one with authority. Now, for most of us, when we think about authority, it comes from somewhere else, right? Very few of us have much authority in anything but a very small area. If I want to know about Georgia football recruiting, I read Jeff Sintel's blog. Otherwise, I won't know anything about it. If I want to know the details of the unfolding war in the Middle East and hear some reflections about it from someone who knows a great deal about the inner workings of Israeli politics, I'll read the columns of Thomas Friedman. If I want to know about finances or about preaching or any number of other things, I have authorities in my life to whom I can turn. I don't have a great deal of authority in any of those areas. But Jesus, in our gospel lesson today, on the other hand, appeals to no other authority than himself. He appeals to no other authority than his own identity. In his first act recorded of his ministry, Jesus nails it without any appeals outside of himself. He speaks with calm and clear authority. He knows what must be done and does it with a commanding sense of poise. And people listen. The unclean spirits listen to him. And we see this theme over and over again in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus has authority. Authority over the chaotic forces of nature that are at work in the world. Authority over how people observe the Sabbath. Authority over the law of God. Jesus has authority. In a sense, it's not so much the content of Jesus' teaching that is important here, Mark seems to say, nor is it Jesus' manner of teaching, as if he taught vigorously and forcefully while the Pharisees and the scribes taught timidly. Rather, the focus is on the authority that inheres in Jesus' own identity and person. As so often in the Gospel of Mark and really the whole New Testament, there's an irony. There's an irony at work in today's lesson. There's a disconnect between the reality of Jesus' authority on the one hand and the people's awareness of that authority on the other. Do you notice who understands and submits to Jesus' authority in today's gospel lesson? It's the demons, the evil spirits. They get it. They know who Jesus is and they listen to him pronto. They know that he has authority over all things. But the disciples, just a few chapters later, they say, "Who is this man whom even the wind and the waves listen to?" And we hear that question over and over again. Who is this guy? What is he up to? But the evil ones, the demons, they get it. They understand. Those of us, like the people in the synagogue that day in Capernaum, those of us who have walked with Jesus as his disciples, we have witnessed in many and various ways, most of us, Jesus' deeds of power. We can't help but see and be amazed at the things that he does to bring good and healing and renewal into the world. Like those crowds, we are often astonished. But also, like those crowds, we often miss the ways in which Jesus' power and his authority implicate everything in our lives. We fail to see the extent and the depth of Jesus' power and authority over all things. It's striking to me that Jesus' first teaching, his first act of public ministry, not just that we don't hear the content of it, but the place it happens is also striking. Jesus does his first act within the synagogue, amongst his own people, before he goes out into the world, before he goes to the Gentiles, before he goes to the peoples of the earth, he comes to purify and heal and bring order to his own house. I once heard a preacher on this text quip that today's lesson is proof that there are evil spirits in church. It's kind of funny, right? But it's true, isn't it? We in the church are so fond of making distinctions between us and them. The people in here who know all the things that need to be known about Christianity, who possess a certain amount of power and prestige and resources, and the people out there are the ones who don't, and we need to take it to them, right? But today's lesson reminds us that before we can carry the good news of the gospel, and we should carry it out into the world, we should serve and use our resources for the benefit of people in the world. But before we do any of that, we need to hear and receive Jesus' power and authority in our own lives, in our own congregation, in our own church. Our call today is to recognize and sit beneath the authority of Jesus, to meditate on it, to let it work in our own lives and in the life of our church. Because the promise of today's gospel lesson is that Jesus will purify and renew us so that we might know him and his authority more powerfully and be more fit to carry it out into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.